May 7th, 2023, it's Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Fucking, it's going to be 22 years in a couple weeks. I'm still blowing clams. I had the fucking monitor still on. People, happy fucking Sunday. Usually don't do Sundays, but for very special guests, we accommodate Watt from Pedro show. Started off with John Coltrane, Miles Davis doing Alucha live. I think that's a fucking Charlie Parker song. And then Zipextry with Hypnotized. And because of those fucking Skype, well, Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, that's it, fucking idiot, what? I got with me, Brother Wade from Moketown. Sister Robin, welcome aboard. Yes, yes. And I ain't seen you in a while. I think it was last April. So it's been a year.
It's been a fucking year.
In fact, we got to conk there twice because we went all the way to Pacifica and back.
Yeah, that band was great. I loved it.
MSSV, Mike Begetta. Going to go out with him again, September, November. He gave me the first batch of the next album because that's the way he does it, right? You play the album all tour. Then as soon as you get home, you record the motherfucker one day. Smart move, Mike Begetta. Okay. So I want to learn about your journey through music. So please, Brother Ray, bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, wow. You know, my dad forced me to sit in front of the piano when I was probably about 11 or 12. And I think we had one, and I think I was just supposed to sit there until I started plunking around. And that's probably the earliest memory.
So yeah. you don't have the ordeal of the piano teacher. You just had the actual instrument.
Yeah, my dad was a little bit that way. He really just exposed us to as much as possible. But once we started getting any good, he would just like force us to go another direction and start learning to draw or something else, you know.
Okay, because you know I've had a lot of guests on the show. The ordeal of the piano lessons almost drove them away from music. And what I found is usually it's the teacher, lack of skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the best thing that I got out of that without having, I mean, I think he was too, not cheap, but he didn't see the value of having me take formal lessons. And yeah, there were six kids in the household. But what I did learn over time is really, you know, it is about theory. Like if you really can kind of just noodle your way around, you can kind of now start enjoying it instead of being, you know, having to read all the time. That would be not fun.
Yeah, think about it. They got one button for every note. There ain't a lot of instruments like that. Like a pewter, early form of the pewter. So what about grade school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
No, actually, I was going to be, like, I was supposed to be studious, which I wasn't. I mean, my high school GPA was really bad, but I was supposed to be studious. I was in a white neighborhood, Chinese guy, and then all of my friends were in marching band and stuff like that. Actually, what happened was I took guitar when I was in junior high, but then when you went, because of Reagan's thing, and there's this whole, like, you know, thing that happened politically at that moment where if you wanted to continue to take music in high school, you had to be basically sanctioned or okayed by a music teacher in junior high. And I was obviously too shy to go up to the teacher and say, hey, can you put my name on that list? So when I went to high school, music dropped out for me. But in that regard, but my friends were in band and they were great. And those, you know, we were skateboarders. So we just hung out with the skateboarder punk rock musicians, and that's where I was. And then, so I never really had any formal training.
Let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money, please.
Oh, my God. That's so horrible.
It's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Well, thank you. I'm being honest. I'm being honest, but I bought that I never saw what's the name of that movie everyone sees? Star Wars. I never saw Star Wars, but I had heard that little Cantina song, and that's the first 45 I bought. And the second 45 I bought was I think Boogie Boots by, I forgot that kid's name, but some little poppy guy thing. I don't remember, whatever.
And first gig you saw?
First gig I saw. Well, I would like to say it was, UFO. UFO was first, and the second was basically Pat Benatar. But I want to say Pat Benatar because that's cooler than UFO, but whatever.
What was that? The bass player had a neat name.
Oh.
It was really Cano. It was really short. I can't remember his name right now, but Pete Way or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I like Econo a little. Like, your last name is Little and Econo.
Yeah.
So is mine. Except I don't understand why there's two T's, you know. What? Make sure it's over. Yeah, okay.
Well, I kind of feel a little bit like your last name fully helps establish you, you know, like a Watt, you know, like electricity, you know. Yeah, I think that I feel like our names kind of help establish who we were in life a little bit.
Yeah, my pop told me this thing that was convenient for the fucking phone. He said, people want to know who they're talking to, boy. So you tell them. Because it also sounds like you're asking them what, you know, get to the point. Why'd you fucking call? What? Okay. Enough about me. So now you kind of hinted, you kind of alluded to what I was going to ask. Not after school, high school, graduation, but in the afternoon. The garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band. You said you got in with some buddies.
Yeah, my crew, like, I didn't, you know, I was on another path, but, like, all my, you know, I'm a little misfitty kid. So my crew was basically back in, you know, Los Avidados, back in the punk band. And Drunk Engines would go up play at the On Broadway before the MAB, and then like
above, which upstairs.
What's that?
On Broadway was upstairs from the MAB.
Yeah, true. And then I met Dirk before. Dirk, I mean, he remembered me. I was just a little grum.
Yeah, he had the best intros. He would totally make fun of your band, and then you'd have to go play your best.
Yeah, so good.
He's good. I think they named that. That alley where everybody loaded in at the MAB, everyone pissed there. That had the strongest piss smell out of any fucking anywhere. If you had any kind of congestion, that ammonia smell would open that shit up. Anyway, they named that. A couple years ago, I went hobbling around there, and they named that alley after Dirk Dirksen. But they paved it, so they ain't piss smell anymore. They, like, paved over the all that shit. So, anyway, So did you get in a band? Well, you mentioned something about a guitar. How'd you get your first guitar?
I bought so there's a guy named Rocco who back in the day used to make early skate videos. And Rocco, I was in San Diego going to college, and then I came back and I'd visit my buddies, and that's just right when kind of like my Ray Stevens was in all these bands, and then The Odd Numbers, they were kind of a mod band in San Jose. So that was kind of my crew that I'd hang out with. And I remember saying to Ray, like, Ray was so great. Ray was like, I'd say like basically about music. And I said, oh, maybe I'll learn this or maybe I'll learn that or I'll, you know, maybe whatever. And I remember him saying like, you never go wrong buying an instrument. You never go wrong buying an instrument. And whether it's a harmonica or just some, you know, little, you know, penny whistle, whatever.
Good advice. I agree.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's like you spend $20 on something else. Like, you can spend $20 on that.
Well, it's like a pocket knife. Is the art really in the pocket knife or what you're going to fucking carve with that knife?
Yes, agreed. So my first guitar was a Takamine 12-string. You know, I thought it was
acoustic.
Cool.
Right, acoustic, which, you know, if you want to get in the pit and start some shit, kind of a little brittle. You gave me this song here, Electrify.
Yeah.
Were you aware of Electrify Me? That was the Plugs album, and they probably had the first album in SoCal of our punk scene in Hollywood. Let's go play it.
To the sea. with me.
Invisible now.
Thank you.
for P-Grove Show. Start off that chunk of music with Zip X3 with Electrify. We're just rapping off air, people, about Electrify Me album from Plugs. Of course, with a Z, not with an S, people. It was those kind of days. Then we had Pelican Man with Part 6 of Planet Chernobyl. This is an opera. Me and Petra Hayden put music behind Charlie Plymell's libretto from a poem he had, Planet Chernobyl. This is Part 6 of 15. Then we had well, it ain't brand new, really. It came out a few months ago, but we lost Mark Stewart, people, the singer of the pop group. Big influence on Minutemen. And he was just on the show a month and a half ago. Anyway, this is him, some Italian cats, Peter Harris, Unera, a tune called Wasted, Malign, Sitkastatur, Runa, Vala, Flores Grimzadol, Tatur, Francesco Dielli. Well, that's quite a cast of characters. Jim O'Rourke's got a new record. He's living in Tokyo these days. Well, outside. He's a little west in the forest. A man's mind will play tricks on him. This is an edit. He's doing a lot of soundtracks, people. I'll tell you a trippy one he did was for Werner Herzog's, what's that, Grizzly? Man, some guy thinks he's friends with the fucking bears. Idiot, man. But good music. Old California. This is Woody. Guitar buddy of Nels Klein, Woody Alfenhaus, kind of proj where he's singing and playing guitar. I Won't Cry. Out of Anchorage, Alaska, Muskeg, Mudsuck, Ramble with Johnny. Okay, here's some more Mark Stewart with Lampadano, Lo-Fi Waste, Bread and Edders Ensemble with a tune called Waltz. This is a drummer man who writes songs, because why shouldn't fucking drummers write songs? They're bitching at it. Bahamas Prendon, the Dimensional Shift Key from the new Arabia, Sadada, sorry, fuck, scusi, out of Milano, Chile. All the songs are named after South American countries, people. Finally, Zip X Tree with Fatalaria,
maybe. Fatalaria.
Yeah, Fatalaria. Fucking, I'm sorry. I see, I don't just fuck up the foreign languages. I always already fuck up our languages. Yeah, so sorry. Anyway, a lot of good music there and stuff. And so, okay, your buddy talks you into getting this 12-string. Is that what you guys do, jam after school in the afternoon?
No, dude, I'm in San Diego going to college, and I'm...
What, are you in San Diego like the Aztecs, or are you La Jolla?
Yeah, yes, the Aztec, that was
okay,
it,
that's because it's two schools, one's a UC school, one's a Cal State school.
Yeah, it's true, and I went to the state one that was better, or there's, you know, they wouldn't take me in the higher education, that's as far as I could get in higher education.
I played both, I played on the steps outside the Aztec place, and then La Jolla had a place called the Trident Pub, and there was gigs there, yeah. I also got to play in San Jose. That's a Cal State school. And I got to play there, share the stage with Maceo Parker, Jim Brown's alto man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Huh? So you're man alone on the Takamine 12-string.
Yeah, I didn't really, you know, I wasn't doing a lot with that. I mean, I would basically, like, you know, early guitar. So just trying to learn songs and shit, you know. So that's how that... That's what I did with that. And it was actually – and then I was on rotation in San Francisco, and they broke into the car. My Volkswagen van broke into the van, stole the Takamine, and suddenly I was guitarless. But that was actually – you know, that thing was holding me back, dude. That 12-string was holding me back.
And why do you say that?
Because there's too many fucking strings.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. You're trying to tune it, and you think you sound cool. I didn't know shit back then.
Well, you know what? A lot of cats, they tune them down to D because the tension is so fucking big time with the 12 strings.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they can bow up the neck. Anyway, you get rid of it. Would you get electric guitar next, six string?
No, dude. I'm a, like, I don't, I have electric guitars, but I don't pick them up too often. I mean, I should, but no, I guess I'm just...
I'm trying to follow the timeline here after the donate with the fucking 12-string.
Okay, so, you know, I basically end up with, like, I started buying some junky guitars, and then I started listening to more kind of punky or, like, experimental music. So I would buy, like, whatever piece of shit was at a thrift store or something, and then just, you know, just bang away at it. And we, you know, so then I'd start jamming with people more in an experimental music sense and not necessarily playing songs. And then I was trying to get away from playing, like, you know, playing Pink Floyd songs or, you know, Bob Marley songs, you know, because I learned songs, but I, you know, I'm trying to unlearn them so that I can do my own thing. And so trying to do my own thing, I would just buy, you know, just have pieces of shit guitars and just start cranking away at them and really not paying attention to tonality for a while there.
And you didn't want to chase down, like, your earlier music thing with the keyboard. You didn't want to get a synthesizer or something like that?
No, I was forcing myself to learn violin, myself to learn everything except guitar, like clarinet, trumpet, violin. I would force myself until I was able to break through and get like some kind of sound out of that wasn't absolutely horrible. So I spent a lot of time doing that kind of shit.
What about composing? Since you're not, you say you were bumming on learning people's songs off the records and shit. Did you start writing your own stuff?
I did. When Michael Tilson Thomas first became the music director in San Francisco, I had envisioned, and then Yerba Buena Gardens first opened up. I don't know if you know those spaces, but it's right by the San Francisco MoMA. I had written a piece and never finished it, but I had envisioned writing a piece where in that space we would take the windows out of all the buildings, the surrounding buildings. Like there's a Jewish center there. There's a lot of those buildings there. I had envisioned taking the windows out of those places and have a timed piece about, you know, about an hour and a half of just trumpets playing, going through tonality, A, everybody's playing A, and just, you know, kind of that jarring effect that you would get from both. I was really into avant-garde new school compositions for the longest time. And that's what I originally envisioned myself doing. I envisioned myself writing, you know, like, you know, John Cage. I love John Cage and the other dude that does the marching band shit. All those guys.
Marching band, what, like John Philip Sousa?
Yeah, Philip Sousa, but even before Sousa. Yeah, all those guys.
You know. Okay. Let me ask you this. When was your first public performance at music?
Yeah, when I was in med school, we had a kind of a new wavey. We did some kind of punk songs, called Bovine Keeler. It was, you know, somebody else's, my old roommate wanted to put the band together. And so we did songs. We did some copy songs and we did originals. Bovine Keeler. And we actually did pretty good. We played at the Green Door in, Claremont. Do you remember that place?
Or Montclair.
Yeah.
Because they're next to each other. People don't ask me why Claremont is right next to Montclair. But now that pad is a fucking parking lot for a mall.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and it had a really fucking scary kind of tell there, too, like crack house kind of little tell rooms that were nearby. One time FBI came. And wanted to know if I brought somebody over state lines that I shouldn't. No, I'm not on. And then this was fire hose days, right? And I said, let me see that picture. And there was a uniformed officer, too, with him. And that guy starts giggling. And, of course, it's the band with the U in the name. I said, it's almost the same band, just different haircut. So I'm just getting ready to get on the stage. The guy grabs me. As I'm climbing up on the stage, you know, and I get interrogated. It was a trip. So I got some memories of that club, too. So was that gig for you a success?
Yeah, we were great. I mean, I was basically in my second year of med school, and we were doing really good. We were playing on the Claremont colleges, and people liked us, and we had kind of a poppy sensibility to us. And then we technically opened for Ben Harper at an art show. Like we were at this art show and then Bovine Keeler is playing and we played and then all of a sudden this dude shows up with this crazy ass instrument. I don't even know what it was. Like, and he's killing it. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I got to share the stage with him. He's a monster. Lap Steel kind of plays it like Jimmy. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. May 7, 2023 edition, Wapito Show. Special guest, Ray from Zip X Tree. Hold tight. Round two.
That name, dude.
May 7, 2023. It's the second hour of the Wapito Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you. let their protest stand, for the gods of the world speak. On the dooming wall, their bodiless hands have blazoned, through crossing and the flaring brand, to illumine the message, see the land. Open the prisons and make men. Out the living words of the dead, written in red, written in red, written in red, written in red. Gods of the world, their mouths are dumb. Your guns have spoken and they are dust. The crowded living have felt the beat of awakening drum within them, and sounding the dead man's tongue, calling in sight of the ancient trust, happy health, resurrection, the word of the dead. The world, our cause is the same.
Bought for Pedro show. Start off the second hour. It's the Backstreet with Souvenir. Knocking off air about license plate. Quebecois license plate, people. Oh, yeah, the next door, right? The Ontario province. OPP, right?
Yeah.
It's not other people's property. It's the Ontario Provincial Police. So be careful. Especially your guest, somebody else's land. Thaddeus Brown, Matt Nelson, after that, Orbital Resonance. Timothy Renner with Written in Red. And Sepek Street with Greta. Is that how you pronounce it? Greet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice.
Greta, just a guess. Anyway, okay, so that gig, I mean, that band, the Bovine People, while you're in med school, how long did it just last for college? Did it run its course once you got done?
Well, it was going good. Then we all had to kind of disperse to go out on what are called rotations. And then, we tried to come back together, reform, but once you lose momentum, it was really hard to reform. And then I think, I know you know more about bands than I do, but, it's pretty hard to put the band back together to do it. And I think it was kind of my first foray into kind of, I had never really, really been in a band before, but suddenly realizing oh dang, there's lots of egos and then there's lots of things that people will want to do. The guitarist was great. He was really a big impetus for us making it happen, but he was a little neurotic and he was a brilliant guy, but we would do Billy Bragg songs and we would always start, and some of the really slow Billy Bragg songs are vocal heavy and I was a singer, rhythm guitarist, and he would want to start a show off with just the hardest shit for me. I go I don't really want to start off like that. You gotta do it, man. You gotta do it.
You didn't use an England accent, did you?
No.
Okay. Me and him, Billy Bragg, are born on the same day. I think he's a couple minutes older.
Oh,
but
nice.
I got to rap with him and Joey Shithead on a three-way call a couple years ago. It was trippy. They wanted to know about the 80s and how easy it was to write political songs because of that environment. So, a bunch of cats. If you think of a band as a boat, yeah, some dude's got to be on the rudder. And I guess you were on the bow there because he's launching your ass.
Yeah.
Good little sacrifice lamb, but fuck.
Yeah.
anyway, so now you said Billy Bragg. So did you write any songs for this Bovine band?
Yeah, we had a few songs.
Yeah, but any Ray Yeah songs?
Yes, we had there's a song called Industry, which is basically about as the industry, right? And then, yeah, we had
I remember Husker Du had a song called The Newest Industry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really good. I had Greg Norton on a couple episodes ago. He's got a new band with some guys, England and Canada, called Ultra Bomb. And he survived cancer. They cut the fucking... said he wanted to put his prostate in a jar, but they wouldn't give it to him. Sporting Greg Norton. I mean, we were talking, in the old days... you used the fucking phone. I'd have 6-7 hour talks with one at a time. Grant and Greg and Bob. It's beautiful. Greg Ginn, Chuck Dukowski, Spotsky. That's Joe Biza. That's what you did. You fucking windbagged on the phone like a motherfucker. You gave me this here, Laid Back Air.
Bring nothing and sit on packed millions.
Show that Chuck music start off with Zip Backstreet with Laid Back Air. Then this goes back, way back, 2007. This is Salico live at Roulette, New York City. She's on the show on May Day. And this is part one of two. I think people started clapping. I think it was supposed to be an hour, but they started clapping in the middle, so I split it into two parts. Then Nuriat?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Francais, huh? Zip Backstreet? Okay. So this band runs its course. And does it scare you away from music, or is this when you... Because it seems like you got into synthesizers or some, or returned back to keyboards anyway from this... how does Zip Backstreet get going?
Okay, so basically, my deal is like all my friends are musicians. I give them space to be that. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to step on their turf or anything like that. I hook up with this, he's kind of a brother-in-law his handle is Cool Kojak, and his first platinum album was Flo Rida, Ride Round. And then he did like a lot of Kesha stuff, and he's got a lot of hits. He kind of comes into our circle as basically kind of a brother-in-law. And then my wife and I own this club up here in Oakland for, you know, whatever million years. And so we basically, you know, we're around music a lot. And I'm kind of getting to see, like, what the music industry really is about. I mean, I always, like, again, I always thought I was going to write, like, I always thought I'd do, like, John Cage, like, esoteric, like, all the way, you know, that kind of shit. But then I got older and I started seeing all the efforts, like our, you know, the Uptown basically had, we really supported, experimental music. We really supported like local shit, right? That was really our thing. But it dawns on me like, man, there's some killer ass musicians out there and they're never going to make it. It never shows up. And I'm getting older and my personal career is like taking off, but it's like, you know, it's leaving me flat a little bit. So I go to Kojak and I said, hey, Kojak, I said, hey, man, can we record some songs? He's like, okay, cool. So I drive out to LA and we start working on songs. And Laid Back Air was the first song that we worked on. I basically walked into a studio and like, again, and I brought you know, a bunch of instruments with me and I'm, you know how these studio gigs go. You basically show up and you know, they like to lay down a beat and then from that you know, you just start putting the songs together. And I can be pretty creative. Like, I mean, I've spent a lot of time, you know, I used to write some, you know, everyone, write a little bit of poetry here and there, noodle around with whatever instruments there. So I felt that I was primed to be able to just sit inside of a studio and start working on some shit. And that's basically how that kind of came together. I would be playing stuff. And then they eventually started recording it and then started to, you know, slice and dice and move things around. And that's how these pop tunes came together, because I was feeling a little bit like, oh, yeah, I'm getting kind of old now. It's time to, like, put something out there. Am I ever going to do anything? You know, I need that part of my life to be significant, that I did spend a big part of my life playing music, playing instruments, doing all these things, and I ultimately had nothing to show for it, you know, in that regard, especially after having the club and seeing all the different bands come through and seeing how much work is put into just for that one show, how much, and, you know, it just seemed a lot. I mean, I've played before, but not a lot. I haven't really performed a lot, but just seeing all that effort and realizing, like, oh, you know what? And then the other people I think about, like, there's bands out there that, you know, even you look at Taylor Swift, like, she comes out, her hits are basically, you know, she's been able to morph her creativity and step away from her personal beliefs on what art is. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think she also had some control issues, like an asshole father and the motherfucking producers. She had to re-record her shit to get it back.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Well, I'm solid behind her. Like, fuck those people, dick leeches.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally. So where'd you get the name Zip Xtry?
Well, as you can notice from all my songs, you know, I did I always liked Satie. Like, he would just make up words that didn't mean anything. And that's it. I mean, a lot of those songs that I sent you that haven't been released. A lot of those songs are just me doing something and then me going, and at the end of it going like, pretty, whatever, trying to mumble some word together.
And that's where the name Zip Xtry came from.
Yeah, just some mumbling.
Okay, that's all right, you know. Intent is 9/10 of the law.
Yes.
That's okay. You don't have, look, and if you want to read a book that's full of that stuff, Jim Joyce's fucking Finnegan's Wake, I recommend.
Oh,
we're at the end of the second hour, May 7, 2023 edition. Wap Peter, some special guest, Ray from Zip Xtry. Hold tight for hour three. May 7, 2023, it's the third hour. Wap for Pedro's show.
Mark Rath, famous Cobra Road Mini Mark Rathers. One night, after a failed Quickly's robbery, Ma had had enough. Took a night when shift. When John got home, when Pa and his mother got home, he's a little sick.
Bob for Pedro show. We start off the third hour. Zip X Street. Save it for the kids. A little philosophy, people. Then we got some stuff from Carbon Records out of Rochester, New York. Okay, this is Beast View Maul. M-A-U-L. Maul, like a hammer, people. Part 2 of 2 of Fata Morgana. Reynos out of Argentina. But this cat, this Miguel, the drummer man, Barria, he likes to make up his own words. Etro Rene, 5043. Bancho Aji, right? New Taste. Fireflies in the Shrine. Will Veeder after that with Ruth. Nod with Nope, Mama Singing Blues. And finally, Zip X Street with Settner. What the fuck is Settner? Does that sound like Zip X Street?
Sorry, dude.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I'm into it.
You know, you gotta hide. You know, I'm trying to hide a little bit, right? You know.
What do you do? You have notebooks full of lyrics, or do you write on demand? Do you use voice memo on your fucking leash, or what?
Kind of both, a little bit. I've been trying to practice free forming. Like, I don't know if you know. There's two regular things that I've been doing, but there's this thing up at the here in Oakland where. On first Sundays, you go and you throw your name in a hat. They pull three names out. You three go on stage, and for 7 minutes, you three have to improvise. And then you get two sets. And
now, that happens who's Sunday. They? Who's they?
It's the Temescal Arts Center.
Oh, okay.
Jacob, all the old school Mills College heads and all the avant-garde musicians.
Which they almost closed, right? I heard it's going to stay open, but can you imagine Mills College closing? Fuck those assholes.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, okay, so it's creative types get thrown into a random situation where they have to, improvise and come up with something. I like that.
Yeah, so vocally, like, that's a thing. Like, so basically I will, you know, I'm trying to get a little bit freer about improvising vocally. So words come from that. So not all words, but that's an exercise that I will do in order to try to get lyrics.
Now, did you speak your pop's language in the house as a kid?
No, we did. What happened was he tried, in the very, very beginning, we tried a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I think that he felt that it held him back. He could tell that the accent held him back.
Yeah, everybody thinks that.
Teach us, you know, we used to take English language classes from him, like first tense, second tense, you know, vowel.
Grammar.
Grammar.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because Chinese language, both Cantonese and Mandarin, seems very musical. Like same word, right? Different tones. We do a little bit in English, like when you want to make the difference between a question and a statement. But they use it for different words and stuff. So, in a way, big music quality, I think. So, that would be an advantage, an interesting environment. But I know about immigrant fear of that, having the kids with accents because they're going to get picked on at school.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that's unfounded in a way because I think, yeah, you speak it at home, the old language. But then at school, while you're in the formative ages, you're getting the lingua franca. So I think that's, and knowledge is power. So any chance you got to learn another language. I was just curious if that came in and helped you with words because it's such, Vietnamese too, it sounds like such singing language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And I agree with you about that. Like, I think it's basically your tolerance level of how much you can handle as far as like, yeah, I think that the language thing was very helpful. I think that we came back to it, right? I mean, at one point we got it, and then he realized that we knew nothing about the language, and it was so he came back to it. Like, you know, like I said, we were always bouncing around from one thing to the next. My dad was constantly trying to teach us stuff, and language came back, and he started teaching us different tenses and bopo, mofo. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah.
All these things.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, techniques. Look, this next tune I want to play. help me with this. Culti pertus? Peritus? Some kind of Latin? Is a doctor word? Medicine word?
I don't know, dude.
Okay, well, let's listen. Walk for Pizzo show. Last music for this edition. That Chuck Star album. Civic Street doing, yeah, Kulti Paritas. I don't know. You know, because in Francais, right, you don't say the last letter, so it's probably something real short, like cute pet or something like that. Pango after that. Remember that game with the little fucking ice cubes and the penguin? The ghost, yeah, Pango, right? The ghost wore galoshes. And then finally, this is one of your piano pieces. Yeah. And I can't, no lessons, huh? You learned this shit, man alone. That's pretty bitching. Piano number 11, 2.0, Sebek Street. Yeah. Because, you know, like I was saying, one note for every button, or one button for every note, and then left hand being the bass, right? You're almost a one-man band on a keyboard.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right, 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 right. So, do you just have fun? Do you get on the piano alone and just start composing, start playing?
Yeah, that's it. Actually, what ends up happening is I noodle, right, it's basically the best thing, the piano, as you're commenting on, is it's truly the best instrument, although it does require the most, you know, practice and exercise, and but once you get locked into it, it's absolutely amazing. So for me, I have been plunking around on the piano for a long, long time, so I can actually sit in front of this thing for hours and bug out. And that's basically what a lot of those piano pieces coming from that, because that piano piece you're playing is going to come out in a record form, and it's currently getting mixed right now. But yeah, I sit in front of the piano constantly going through different, you know, tones and chords and configurations. And it's extremely, when we talk about music being healing,
yeah,
and setting us back on our path and taking us out of those extremely difficult moments in life.
Yeah.
Piano is number one for me. It truly is. Beautiful. It's hard to remember to do it. It's hard to remember to sit in front of it and force myself to do that, because it impacts everyone in the house and they all have to listen to what I'm doing, as opposed to, say, a guitar or something like that. But the piano is the most healing of all of them.
Now, you say you're going to have a piano release, but you got a Zipextry release, too, of this other stuff that you made with the Kojak cat, right?
Right. Good point. So I've been having a dilemma with that, to tell you the truth. I was trying to figure out, and I love your advice about this, to tell you the truth. So I have my professional career. I have Zipextry, which is a kind of a pop icon or a pop thing. And then, but I really have all this other music that's inside of me. And so I've been canvassing and asking people, what should I do? What should I do? Should I create another pseudonym, or should I just stick with Zipextry? And so my observation is, when I'm in LA and I'm hanging out with, you know, those people, they all want you to stay. This is the music industry, right? They want you to stay the course, like, be this, here is your persona, whatever. But I'm pretty complicated, and I have all this other stuff that I want to do. So it seems to me, and you tell me this, what?
Yeah.
I need this advice. I really do.
Okay, it sounds to me like my suggest would be, from what I'm hearing from you, I'd set up a Bandcamp page for each persona. Fuck that.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? A solar system has more than one planet. Still goes around the sun. You're the sun, but you got a Pluto mode. You got a fucking Venus mode, a Jupiter mode, Saturn mode, Mercury mode. You know what I'm saying? They could all be, you know what I mean? I think what's more important in music rather than the name of the music.
Yes.
If you want my advice.
I do want your
now,
advice.
Now, sometimes when I use my name in a proj name, it's because I want people to know who to blame, because I'm directing the people. When I give it an abstract name, that means more of a collaboration.
Oh,
that's how I do it.
I like that a lot.
But to me, you know, two different forms of music. Music is music. It's still you. But why can't, you know, have different, whatever, names? Like children, right? For the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Save it for the kids. So that's what I would say. I would say, and that way you don't have to worry about compromising yourself. You can let that fucking freak flag fly.
Well, what's interesting is I had kind of put Bandcamp on the back burner for a long time, and I'm starting to realize it does seem like on Bandcamp I can be who I want to be, as opposed to on Spotify you have to be what they want you to be.
Yeah, fuck that.
Right?
Yeah. If you want my advice, I would say go that other route where you hold on to your autonomy. And whatever you do, look, I want to put the invite out. As soon as you come out with something else, will you please come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
This has been very inspiring. I'm ready to go write some songs right now after hearing you. I got to get some bass in for Wasco in Cleveland in here. So thank you so much, Brother Ray, and come back on the show when you're ready with new music, please bring.
100%. Thank you very much, Mike.
Absolutely. People, it's been May 7th, 2023. It's just Wapito, so keep your powder dry.